Hey, America.
Start
listening now.
Nailed it.
Bingo.
How's everyone doing?
Not important. Sam, you got a cat.
I got a cat. I am the last of the four of us to get a fuzzy little feline friend.
Sam has joined.
Cat.
The fellowship of the cat.
She's wonderful. Her name is Evie, and she has a neurological disorder, which doesn't cause her any pain, but she is super wobbly and super clumsy. And it's nice to know that there's somebody in the house more clumsy than I.
Speaking of clumsy, here's a segue to the theme music. And welcome to another feline episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America. You know, the one from the news. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
We made the news. Not what? We, but the country. Never mind.
What did we do?
What happened?
Something about a fence. I don't know.
Okay.
You know,
according to half the country, it's ancient history. So, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Please follow us on social media. You can hit us up on Twitter or Facebook at 12pointsUSA, or you can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to give us any feedback, point ratings. That would be really helpful for us. And just share us with your friends. If you enjoy our wacky brand of witticisms and bon mots, then, you know, share them around the world, and the more the merrier. And also, don't forget our Redbubble if you want to hit up some random yet wonderful merch that has sprung from the head of Eric Nelson.
Aphrodite itself.
Yep.
That's
Athena.
What? Oh, Athena.
Athena was born from
Athena was born from something else.
Yeah. Seafoam, wasn't it?
We'll call it Seafoam.
Yes. Yeah, so if you want something that has emerged... Seafoam. Emerged like sea foam out of Eric Nelson's brain, you know, like a t-shirt, to hit us up on Redbubble.
I feel weird about this all of a sudden.
Yeah, can we try this again?
Nope.
All right. Well, that was fun. So it's been a couple of weeks, and we've had a couple of great questions on Twitter, talking to our very, very lovely fans. We need like a term for our fans. Are they just 12 pointers, or are they...
Are they not just friends of the show?
Friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
Friends of the show, I suppose.
Friendsters.
Friendsters. Okay. So we'll start with one that I wrote.
Go for it. Yeah.
Which was, I was listening to Nikki Byrne's Sunlight, which is a song I quite enjoy. But I have to say, touch who you wanna, kiss who you gotta. Bad advice. Just
Me too era.
Really, really bad advice. And it got me thinking, what's a song that you really like that has a lyric that you really don't like? That's what I want to know.
One of my all-time favorite songs at Eurovision is Estonia 2015, Stig and Alina, Goodbye to Yesterday. I love it. It's just bluesy and dark and emotional, and I've been a fan of Stig Resta since about forever, so I was thrilled to see him finally get a shot at Eurovision. And then he comes up with the lyric, I smiled to the dog.
Yes, he stepped outside and he smiled to the dog.
But isn't it smiled at the dog? Like, who, you don't smile to you don't smile to something, you smile
the dog
at
is
something.
Involved in the situation,
but I mean, prepositions are hard. I get it. English is a tough language. I get it. But, it just destroys that one line. Like, it doesn't rhyme with anything. It's the wrong preposition. Stig, you abandon Alina, you ghost her, and, like, you smiling at/to the dog doesn't endear you any favors. Like, yes, you engage well with animals, but you're still an ass for ghosting Alina. I'm sorry. That lyric, Stig,
you smile between the dog.
Smile in the dog.
Smile amidst the dog.
Amidst.
Grin betwixt the pooch. Yes.
Oh. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, this just turned into an After Dark episode, I guess. But yeah, that's a song that I love and a lyric that I hate. Honorable mention, Slovenia 2016, Manuela Blue and Red. She says, how do you mix red and blue together? For God's sake, Manuela, that's how you get purple. For damn well you know this. Elementary school art girl. Come on. Somebody just distract me. I'm Derek, getting in my head here.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
So the song that came to mind immediately, and this is like the biggest disparity for me, and I just want to make sure I get the year on this right. Oh, it was 2011, Latvia. It was a duo called Musique.
Yeah.
And they had a song called Angel in Disguise, which admittedly not a great song, but I love the backing track. I think the music on it is fantastic. And there's a little rap kind of interlude that they do that I think is pretty good by this Elvis Costello looking guy. And the chorus goes, kill me with killer kiss. Oh, how's
stop
it
right
again?
There. That's already bad.
Oh, no, no.
It gets better slash worse.
Let me just make sure I pull this up so I can say this exactly right, because it's like a little EFL and I'm there for it. Kill me with killer kiss, kill me with tempting lips, stare me with candy eyes, love me with luscious thighs.
Good God.
You'll love it.
I have to hop in here and say at first they couldn't pronounce it right, so they would say love me with luscious thighs.
Ooh, luscious thighs.
Which
my favorite Harry Potter character.
I was going to say, like, welterweight boxing contender Lucius.
Lucius Thighs.
Or Batman partner Lucius Fox.
Yeah. That's good.
Oh.
Fantastic.
Stare me with candy eyes. Love me with Lucius Thighs.
It's just the best Google Translate attempt at writing a song in English I've ever seen. And he sings it completely in earnest. Like, this is romantic stuff here.
Should be noticed that, like, the lead singer on that was, like, 18 years old at the time, so you could kind of tell it was just sort of this earnest,
oh yeah,
like you said, just, I'm writing a love poem.
He looks like if Kenneth the Page from 30 Rock got, like, super jacked.
Yeah.
Excuse what? Me.
Trust me. That's exactly what he looks like.
Wow.
I'm all scared.
Right. It's worth checking out if you have a couple minutes. Go see what they did. It's actually a lot of fun, but
lucky for me, I don't have a couple of minutes. Danny, what do you got?
What do I got?
Yeah.
All right. You guys know my experience with Eurovision itself is still relatively limited, especially compared to the rest of you guys. But it's still Lake Malawi. Hello, she was my neighbor when she was 13. I understand it happened in the past, but it's still weird to be singing a love song and mention a 13-year-old.
Is it any worse than the Dutch song from 2012 starting, I was 5 and you were 3?
What the hell?
That's not terrible, though.
I know. It was actually
that's age-appropriate.
Yes, I know. It was very sweet and innocent, but...
I mean, I assume the Lake Malawi guys were also 13 when...
They were also 13, but you
know. He didn't mention that part.
Yes, exactly. So she was my neighbor when she... Wait, doesn't he say when we were
13? When we were 13, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was we were 13.
Oh, well. We. It's still weird.
Then, like, the creepiness kind of shifts from him having an interest in a 13-year-old then to us observing their interaction between
the song is already, like, can you hear it? Those people who are boning upstairs, kind of like us. Also, remember that 13-year-old who used to live with me?
Oh, Lord.
It seems like an odd transition, yes.
It's a couple steps, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, the neighbors are having sex. By the way,
do you recall?
I was thinking about my neighbor.
When we were 13.
When we were 13.
But she's only a friend.
I mean, I don't know how that compares to the save your kisses for me, even though you're only 3.
Okay, that was a different time.
Yes, that's like... time. It's the meaning is very...
Ending, man. What a twist.
I don't know if that was ever appropriate.
This is also the broadcaster that thought Jimmy Savile was okay for a while, so let's just leave it at that.
A long while.
Yeah.
Friends of the show had some other thoughts on this. I'm going to start with one that I think is a great point, which is, I melted the ice of the polar caps. Now, this is the opening line of Cake to Bake. Oh.
Yes, that's right. I recognize that joke.
Oh, yes. Don't you dare talk smack about my Arzamyeki.
The ice of the polar caps.
Yeah. That's from Barfus Eurovisia. Shout out to Barfus, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Dan at the Dan Garrett appropriately notes, undo my sad. which is
That's just unfortunate.
You got me Pelican Fly Fly Flying.
Hey, that's fine.
Well, take it up with Xander.
Pelican Fly 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 is fine.
That's sort of a Nicki Minaj reference, isn't it?
Is it?
If not,
I feel like she says like my like Pelican Fly in Super Bass, didn't she?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Oh gosh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah. Wow. Look at me making a Nicki Minaj reference.
The guy with the thing in his eye. Yeah.
Jazz says, "Do you like my dancing in the otherwise fabulous Golden Boy? Gets me every time. Definitely not in a good way." And then Edmund, who asked another question that we're going to get into in a second. Shout out to Edmund. Had a couple of examples. We had most of the lyrics to Friend of a Friend, so you're not alone there, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
And then how many pennies in the slot from Arcade?
Ooh, that one. That one. Great.
Which is that
every
one?
Time.
Oh, Arcade. Yeah. That's Arcade. Arcade. Oh, my God. Yeah. Give me those pennies in that slot. Dirty slot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had a response to this noting from somebody who misheard the word pennies as something else. Oh, and the word slot as something else. Leave it at that. Twitter.com/12pointsUSA. Go on an adventure. Find for yourself. It was great. So Edmund had another great question for us. This was fun. So Edmund said, "I'm catching up on 12 Points USA, as you do, to distract from the constant WTF-itude in the U.S., as you do, and I thought of a mailbag question for y'all. If you were an artist, what type of song or act would you want to send to Eurovision? So, you have somehow won a national final, or been internally selected by, I don't know, some country. What are you doing? What are you going with?"
It's a shame that Never-Ending Circles by Churches already exists, because that would be exactly what I would want to like to see at Eurovision, and like I would represent myself with just that anthemic electropop, female heavy, awesome, and also just to have a little bit of Scottish representation, even though I'm not Scottish, but I kind of wish I was. So yeah, something Churches-esque would probably be about where I would be. How about y'all?
My answer is absolute club banger where lyrics are only like 20% of the song.
Ooh.
As in there are only lyrics being sung during 20% of the song?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And it's only in like the first half too. The last half is just me sitting back and rolling in the cash while my onstage dancers, five only, throw down for the last 2 minutes.
What's the lyrical content like in this song?
It's in a foreign language, actually. It's in Icelandic.
Easy enough.
And it's actually about it's being in love. I don't know. Okay. No, it's the same lyrical content as Solove. You know, we were young, we were lost in a forest, we almost died, that kind of thing.
Thank God for breadcrumbs.
Yeah, it's like that.
I vote for it.
The song that I don't know why, but every time it comes up in my playlist, it's the one song I feel like I would want to sing, and for a couple of reasons, but it's Monster Like Me by Moreland. And I absolutely love it, and I love his voice and what he does with it. I also love that he basically scouted a buddy to sing it with him. I can appreciate that.
Hey, bro.
It's like that movie Audition.
Oh. Yeah, it's just like the plot of the movie Audition.
Just exactly like that.
I was about to say, like, did you pick the song because you like the song and because, you know, your partner Norwegian, or just because you have the hots for Deborah Scarlett?
You have the hots for Deborah Scarlett. Don't deny it.
Am I into gingers? Am I into women? No. Hey,
I'm willing to admit that Kenneth the Page Jack for music was pretty hot.
Yeah, okay.
He was 18.
Okay, Deborah Scarlett is a gorgeous, gorgeous woman, and I am envious of her Merida hair. But, yes. You know. But no, I go for Moreland.
That's all. No, I love that one. I love the duet. I love what it's about. I think I'd love to sing a song like that. That's very hints at a darker narrative, but it doesn't give it away. I think that's really cool.
I have seen you dramatically lip sync to that, and it is pretty epic, Derek. So yeah.
We were lip syncing to it during the actual performance.
No, shut up.
It's hard. That song sweeps you up. It's a good one.
It really is.
And 2015 was such a good year for duets, wasn't it? Between Monster Like Me, Goodbye to Yesterday, This Time. That was just, oh, man.
Mons and the Balloon Guy.
Yeah. relationship goals.
Get a balloon guy?
Well, good luck with that.
Absolutely.
All right, Eric, what about you?
Well, I feel like we've talked a lot about authenticity on this show, you know? And whenever I was musically inclined and I was doing that sort of thing, that's the sort of song I wanted to do. I wanted to sing something that was telling a story or talking about a feeling or something like that. So my song would be something like that. Probably pretty upbeat, something with synths. I would outsource symphonics to do a lot of the dirty work, like the heavy lifting. But yeah, I would contribute. I haven't thought about performing in a long time. So that was a fun exercise, I guess, is what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at.
That was fun. Thank you, Edmund.
Yeah. Shout out to Edmund, for real. Thank you so much. This was fun.
Yeah.
No, man, we got news. We got so much.
We got so much news.
We got much
basically
news.
All we're going to be doing today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we should shout out one other friend of the show really quick, yes. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think our pals too. At ESC Insight.
Yeah, every year, at the end of the year, ESC Insight does a couple of articles sort of highlighting the best of 2020, sort of a pair generally. One is the folks who are on the ESC Insight crew, myself included. Just everybody picks their two musical moments of the past year. I was featured in the Insight crew article, and then they outsourced the second article to friends of their show. And they were nice enough to reach out to our buddy Eric here. So
it's me.
So
the friend of a show.
Yep.
Yep. It was my neighbor.
Wait.
No.
Stay away from her.
Cool.
So be sure to check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about defining moments of Eurovision 2020, and we talked about this a little bit on our own show. I think it would have been the last episode. Sam, you talked about the emotional impact of Five Amore in the Veronese auditorium thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what was your other one?
You know what? I'm actually going to say, if you want to know what my second pick was, go to escinsight.com.
I thought you were going to say, if you want to know it, you can shove it up your ass.
Very aggressive tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, are you okay, buddy?
No, I'm wild.
Oh, God. Cool.
Cool.
And read mine too. I picked impeccable options. I'll say that much.
You did, actually. I really did like the ones that you picked.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
Thank you very much. It was really fun to write and think about. And they wanted only one person writing about any particular thing. So I had a couple of ideas. Like, I thought about Shaga McCroy's Grow seemed like a really good choice to talk about in the context of 2020 and everything, but somebody already had. So I went through a few things, came up with a couple of things that no one was going to write about. One last bit of 2020 news.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the last bit of 2020.
Mm.
It's the ESC 250. We had it again. Yeah. This is so much fun to listen to, even when you know how it's going to end.
A significantly more pleasant experience for us than for, say, Derek.
Because
it's unstoppable.
Because Euphoria wins again. Euphoria won again. And Fire Rumore was also the top 2020 song. So
yeah.
I should say, though, it's really a lot of fun to listen to the ESC 250. It's just a great playlist, and obviously no repeats. But it's really, really fun to see the stuff that comes in like 250 to 150. Because at that point, it's just a wonderful random assortment of goodies, of old and new classics, and I love it. It's just a wonderful playlist, and especially if you're just getting into Eurovision, which, if so, I'm surprised that you're listening to our podcast, but hi, welcome.
Yeah, way to start here.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, but it's a great way to kind of dip your toe in. And honestly, ESC Radio is a great resource anyway. It is just a fun way to just have on in the background and say, oh, that's a song I forgot existed and I love, or that's always been my favorite, or I don't know this national final song. And you just learn so much and you just revel in the goodies of Eurovision past and present. Mm-hmm. So yeah, escradio.com if you're not already familiar with it. And if you are, you know what I'm talking about. It's awesome.
Quick rundown of the top 10. Euphoria 1, as we know. Fuego, number 2, just like in real life. Arcade third, Amar Pelosdoj fourth.
Arcade, that's amazing. Really third?
I don't know, man.
There's a bit of a recency bias.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Amar Pelosdoj jumped from seventh to fourth. Great finish for that. Yeah. I wonder, and I think this is true for a number of Eurovision home media type stuff, giving things a boost. That was in the movie. Uh-huh. Did it gain some points from that?
I don't know.
I suspect.
Spirit in the Sky at fifth, same as the year before. 1944 was sixth. Soldi seventh. Fairumore eighth. That's our first 2020. Mm. Pastora Soler with Quédate Conmigo. Mm-hmm. That's Spain 2012 was ninth. And Il Volo's Grande Amore from Italy was 10th.
I think there was a lot of impact from Eurovision again this year. I think there were a number of songs that mm-hmm. as you were probably going to mention, glow up. Yes. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, the one that I was maybe the most excited about was, and this wouldn't be Eurovision, well, it was on Eurovision again, but it was also in Europe Shine a Light, which is Molitva from Serbia.
Oh, God, yes.
Absolutely incredible ballad. Could that be the best Eurovision ballad of all time?
You'll probably have people arguing Lane Moje, but in terms, it's up there. I mean, that Serbia of the mid first decade of the 2000s, they just had a lock on some gorgeous, they really gorgeous did. Stuff. Yeah, Serbia, Montenegro,
That performance, the way it builds, and just by the end, it's just like, Moli f***ing va! And like just, it's so good. So that jumped from 21st, which is very good, to 13th. Pretty big jump.
Yeah.
Fairy Tale and Heroes both dropped off quite a bit.
Good, because Fairy Tale is dumb. I said it.
It succeeded in a weaker year, I'll say.
It sure did. Yeah, it's the more and more I get of it. The fiddle playing is, you know, nonpareil. That it deserves it for it. But man, that song is as a song, not a winner, not a bullseye on that one.
Oh well.
Other 2020 that did well. Think About Things, 16th. I think lower than a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
Tears Getting Sober at 26.
Ugh.
Pretty good. John's Tears, Répondez-moi, at 31. And The Roop.
The Roop. They hear.
We're on fire at number 40. So well done.
Very cool.
Well done to them as well.
Good numbers.
But speaking of ESC again / Shine a Light, Glow Ups, Love Shine a Light jumped from 59th to 43rd.
Out of curiosity, let me ask about songs that were massive, massive hits at Eurovision again. For example, I'm thinking a song, it would have been Yugoslavia 90? Hajde da Ludijemo by Taichi.
Jumped from 234 to 101.
That's a jump.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. Were either of the songs by MFO, the Turkish songs that people were going absolutely nuts for? It would either have been Sufi or Didai Didai Dai.
Yeah, Sufi made it. They were 184th.
After not being on the
rankings. Yeah, they were not on the list. They were, in fact, position number 1,131. So way to go.
Yeah.
Way to go to that. Biggest surprise for me, I thought, sort of. Mm. I was never a big fan of it, so I wasn't shocked, but I was also kind of shocked. Little Big, Uno, 99th.
Oh, yeah.
Just barely cracked the top 100.
Huh.
Do you think that had they performed on the stage, they might not have done as well as expected in the televote?
I mean, maybe. I think a lot of the YouTube views are just from people who don't normally do anything with Eurovision. They saw Skibidi and then it got recommended to them or whatever, right? Like, that probably has a lot to do with it. How well would it have done at Eurovision? Probably still pretty well.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been below expectations.
Well, we will see if Russia decides to send them next year.
They will. Come on.
I would imagine so. They must. You know. Yeah. I'm not going to pretend that I know the inner workings of Russian national television.
Well, they'd want to talk to you if you did.
That's a fair point.
So shall we switch topics and look at what's coming ahead for Eurovision 2021? We've got a whole bunch indeedy. Of news coming up.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's rock and roll. Alphabetical. Sweet. Azerbaijan.
Oh, I thought we'd start with America.
Oh, we did beum, that. Beum, we beum, beum, beum. Oh.
Azerbaijan.
Yes. Submissions have opened to find the song for Effendi.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all we've heard, but officially the process is underway. That's what we know.
All right. So, you great. Know, we know that things are happening for her. Yep. Let's see. Croatia, we do have word that Dora will be held. We think we mentioned a couple weeks ago that they had the list of artists and everything, so we're all very excited about that. We do have confirmation that Dora will be held without an in-person audience. So sort of a kind of like what happened in Denmark this year, that they had the entire event without the audience. But you know what? It worked okay in Junior Eurovision. I can't see why Croatia can't have success with it, knowing this far in advance that this is what they're working with. So
speaking of that, Benintendi, yes. Not in the top 250. Shame on you, Europe. I should have voted also.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Should have gotten your burner phone to vote.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Finland's artists are being announced, as of recording tomorrow.
Yeah. So by the time you're listening to this, you will know what's going on in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a bit of a leak. Yeah. Supposedly there's been a bit of a rumored leak. So we may have some potential big names coming out of Finland. Most notably, after being coy with us, Axel Kakenranta from Looking Back in 2020 said, oh no, I'm not planning on sending a song. He's totally planning on sending a song.
But why though?
You know what? I like Looking Back. It's obviously not Cicciolina, but we can't think like that anymore.
We can't put ourselves in that situation anymore.
No, for the love of God.
I mean, looking back might have been like, geez, I would have taken Uku Suviste over Axel, but
wow.
Honestly.
I wouldn't say that.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Other surprising name to potentially be on the Finnish UMK list is Laura from Estonia. Constant over at Eesti Laul and two-time Estonian finalist. Supposedly, she actually lives part-time in Helsinki, and she's throwing her hat into the ring for UMK. So let's see if she can. Will we cross that? Will that be the Strait of Bothnia or?
Yeah, it's like a two-hour boat ride.
That's not too bad. It's an easy commute.
Oh yeah.
People commute longer, more arduous journeys in the LA metro area. So I guess you know, a ferry's not too bad.
Yeah. Real nice.
Yeah.
The folks behind UMK, the national final there, have put out some like cryptic clues about who these artists are going to be, that sort of thing. And they're kind of fun.
Is it like the St. Paul Winter Carnival style of clues?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
one of the clues they threw out there was making people think that the pretty well-known metal band Nightwish was going to be in this.
Oh, can you imagine?
And if the leaks are true, they're not. But yeah, can you imagine?
And that would have been a bit of a coup because Florianson is the lead singer of Nightwish, is Dutch.
Mm-hmm. When I looked into this, I noticed that like literally just yesterday, one of the main members of Nightwish left the band. So I don't know. They're doing some stuff right now. Maybe that's Eurovision's not really on the to-do list.
Well, I'm putting this out into the universe. 2022. Come on, Nightwish. We want you.
This is how Finland wins Eurovision.
Yeah, duh. Yeah. Worked for them last time.
Next up,
it's been a little while.
France.
Oh, it's France. France is doing France thing. France. Their jury's going to include Mons.
Yeah. And Amir.
Amir, who thought You Are the Best in Me was a good song?
It's probably one of the nicest people I ever interviewed.
He was lovely.
He's, just disarmingly charming.
Fun fact, my Duolingo for French is doing a lot of Cherchez right now.
Oh, yeah?
That's always nice. That's all. That's all I know.
Let's see. Over in Greece, we have confirmation that the song for Greece in 2021 will be called Last Dance. Stefania saying that it's going to have sort of an 80s pop vibe and will be a production by the Dream Team that tends to pop up.
Charles Barkley?
Yep.
Yep. Pippin, Ewing, all of them.
Yep.
Even Leitner. Sidebar. I met Christian Leitner once. He's a dick. Jokes aside, this is the same team that wrote Supergirl, like top to bottom, right?
At least part of it. I don't have the full credits on this. At least some of the segments of the Dream Team from last year.
But it has that one lady and that other guy too. You know, the one. Sam, help me out here.
Sharon Vaughn, Demetrius Kontopoulos. Yeah. I don't know if Sharon Vaughn is on there. I think Demetrius Kontopoulos is involved.
I thought she was.
I'll have to look again. Yeah. But it's some permutation of the Dream Team that always tends to pop up. So, you know, pull a name out of a hat.
Looking at
I was just going to say Last Dance. I'm certainly hoping this will be a more mature sound.
From what people are saying, it's sort of a Dua Lipa vibe.
Ooh.
Yeah. Could be all right.
Yeah,
have you heard any of the songs she's put out since Supergirl?
I have not. Have you?
I have. There was one called Friday.
Oh, no.
And it. Oh, yeah.
Gotta get down on Friday.
Gotta have a roll, gotta have cereal.
Mm. How do you say party, 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 fun, 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 fun in Greek?
That's your job.
Partios.
Oikos.
Yanni.
Yogurt.
Anyway, it's not bad. There's another one also called Stupid Reasons that's also kind of fun.
You make me touch your hand for stupid reasons.
And I haven't thought about that in a decade.
Yeah, thank you. We'll put it in a tweet. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Speaking of people who are not dicks and not from Greece, it's Iceland. That's love my kludgy segues. Daddy Frere was...
He put out a call to his followers on social media saying, hey, record your voice. We need a backing choir. He seems to be taking advantage of the lax rules of pre-recorded backing vocalists, and he's crowdsourcing his backing vocals. So he's recorded a bunch of samples of vocal parts that you can record yourself doing and submit to Dali, and it'll be synthesized into his backing track.
I think it's brilliant. Yeah. As of the start of this week, he is no longer taking submissions. So if this is the first you're hearing of this, you missed out. I'm sorry. If it makes you feel any better, I was super excited and then forgot to do it. So
wait, is there no limit on the number of backing vocalists then?
I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, it's going to be pre-recorded backing vocals. I don't know if that means they've tossed the six number out of the, out of the limit, or if he's going to synthesize those vocal tracks in such a way that it's no longer considered a vocal part. Like, I don't know how he's going to do that.
It's going to be so augmented.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know if the Icelandic delegation needs to clear this with the EBU. I have no idea. But I find it really, really interesting when people get to play with the rules a little bit. We kind of saw it with Grab the Moment from Norway a couple years ago with Joust. You know, how can you legally circumvent the EBU's rules? And it's fun to play with. A little subversive. I like it.
And if anyone's going to do it, I'm glad it's him.
Oh, you know?
But he said he got something like 500 people to do this. So... we'll see what it sounds like.
Let's see. Meanwhile, over in Israel, Edna Lene has announced her three songs that are in the running for her very brief national final. That'll be on January 25th, which is my birthday. Thank you, Israel, for giving me a birthday gift.
Aww.
So she's got three songs. One is called La La Love. That is not the Evie Adamu song from 2012. She's got one called Set Me Free, which is not the Leonano song from the Australian National Final 2 years ago. Yeah, I guess just by process of elimination, she has to go with Ooh La La just so she doesn't have any confusion.
There's never been an Ooh La La.
I don't think there has been. Maybe in a national final, but...
just assume that'd be a given that France at some point would have sent a song just called Ooh La La.
They've had Boom Bada Boom. No, that's that was true. Monaco, wasn't it?
Bam Bam Trois.
They sent someone that's just like Je T'aime, like, ugh.
Sent that one song about a sexual assault and murder back in the 60s.
Can this episode be normal for like 5 minutes?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Babadook.
Yeah. Can you please just be normal? No. Moving on.
Okay. A couple of the songs for Lithuania have been released, including the inevitable release of Twosome's song "I Love My Bear," which I think they're actually singing about beer, but it's a bear. And I don't know if it's an actual literal bear or if it's this wonderful song about, you know,
don't say it,
bromance. And I don't know. But either way, it's enjoyable. And it's very much a Twosome song.
In their defense, I don't think any of them qualify as either a bear or a cub.
I wouldn't know. I think there's a bit in the song in Italian that says something to the effect of, I'm going to let you in on a secret. This song isn't about a person. That I think they're just singing about getting drunk around a campfire, which I'm totally down for. In other news from Lithuania, it looks like Evelina Shishenko, who we had mentioned a couple weeks ago as being part of the national final, has actually had to bow out due to COVID restrictions. She's basically been in a part of the country that has been under lockdown, which has prevented her from being able to rehearse and prepare her song to the standard that she wanted to. So she is gracefully bowing out of the competition, saying, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it right. So... no Mecha Streisand for us, I suppose.
It's too bad.
Yeah, it's a shame. So next up on our list, we roll over to Norway.
A big event.
Yes, I think, Eric, you you being one of the two Norwegians on the team, I feel like you should take this one.
I might pay attention this year, too. I might make this one my one spoiler final.
I think that's a decent choice, looking at some of the names that are going on there.
So that's Kano.
Exactly.
Did anyone see this coming? Like, I was
I honestly don't think so.
No, that was a wonderful surprise.
Kano's back, y'all.
I was going to bring this up when we were talking about what songs I would sing at Eurovision if I went, and my answer is I should amend my answer to include anything that pays homage to the dear gods, because those always do well at Eurovision. And I have to say, Kano coming back shouldn't surprise me. They have appeased the elder gods of Europe.
I know that you've been practicing your yoinking for the past 2 years. It's really impressive, man.
Yeah, well, it's just uncanny.
By the time this show released, there's apparently going to be a Kano documentary. I don't know a ton about it. I just saw something about it on Twitter. But apparently it's dropping tomorrow in recording time. So it'll be out by the time you hear this.
I do have to give them a lot of credit. Considering that they are not an act that technically won the contest, they have been...
What do you mean?
So
they won the hearts and the minds of the European economic community.
Sure thing. Sure thing, guys. They have released an album. They've released a number of singles. They have been super, super active on the Eurovision publicity sphere. They've been making appearances, doing interviews. They haven't stopped. And a lot of acts that are bands that are kind of, you would expect them to be kind of put together for the contest, they have really stuck with it. And they found a level of success amongst at least the Eurovision community that you don't normally see. So I am really excited to see what their song is going to be like. I think it's called The Monument. Is that right?
They're the ones that have been putting those things up in the deserts.
It all makes sense. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Wow.
That band is nonstop.
Yeah. And I have
their
to
album
say, like,
last year is really good, by the way.
Yeah. I was just about to say their album's brilliant. And the fact that it's not just them, that they really went collaborative. You know, their song Black Leather includes a Canadian artist who does Inuit throat singing. They collaborated on a song with Electric Fields from Australia for the album, and just a whole bunch of other indigenous and ethnic underrepresented linguistic and cultural communities. They really embrace that. So I in 2019, I wasn't the biggest Kano fan. I fully admit that. They've converted me. I totally, totally respect what they do.
I believe Eric still has video of me reacting to Kano's music video.
It's great.
I showed it to Liz a little while ago. I forget why, but I did. It's great. Went over. Just great. I should put that on Twitter too.
Oh, yeah.
And be good.
Dig that up.
Other returning act, Ryan Alexander.
Why should I know that name?
Well, he's the guy that was Rasmussen, except he was the last person on Earth.
That's right. That's why. Yeah, that's why I know that name.
Very happy to see him back.
He's singing really like for Norway. Is the is the kingdom personally united again? Has the Kalmar Union returned?
No. It's Rain Alexander. It's not Rasmussen.
Yes. Oh, yes. He was from Norway.
Rain Alexander is Norwegian. Yes,
he's always been from
Rasmussen.
Norway.
Was Danish, even though he's But oh my God, if the Kalmar Union were together, it would be absolutely unstoppable.
Unstoppable in Eurovision. Really would,
yeah.
Oh dear God.
So apparently, the first semi of Melody Grand Prix is the songs are out.
Yes.
When did those come out?
Just like yesterday, I believe.
All right, good.
Yep. So Monday, by the time you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. So they announced who the automatic finalists were going to be, but then they have the semifinals that I think one song from each semifinal rolls on to the grand final. But we have not heard the songs from the grand finalists yet. We will hear them like one or two at a time during the semis.
Yep.
I think we'll hear the Kaino song this weekend.
This week, yeah.
Yeah.
So by the time this episode hits, you should have that as well. Listen to this and then listen to Kaino, obviously.
Priorities.
We have some really interesting songs in this first group here, don't we?
We really do. We really do.
Where do we want to start with these?
I only gave them one single listen. I didn't want to oversaturate my ears with MGP stuff yet. Eric, I feel like you dove in a little bit more deeply.
I did.
So why don't you go for it?
All right, I will. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
So we've got Stina Telling with the song Elevate. This is just an uplifting, I got the eye of the tiger sort of pop. It's pretty good. It's very Eurovision pop sort of a thing. I expect it would do pretty well. We've got Beattie Bell playing with fire. Another pop track, a little more retro influence. She's, I believe, in her 40s. So, you know, it sounds like an 80s pop track because that's what she grew up on, I would say. Stina of Elevate fame, as it were, is, I think she turns 18 next month. So there's definite contrast there. Then we've got Blas Mefian's Let Loose. This is a horn-laden dance track. This group is technically a wind ensemble. They are a trumpet player, saxophonist, trombonist. And then they have a vocalist for the purposes of this song. And then I'm going to yield the rest of my time to what I think is the most interesting song of the bunch.
Yes.
And that is Jorn's Faith, Bloody Faith. This is a guy very much in the cut from the same cloth as like Ronnie James Dio.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And so he's in his 50s. He's been doing this for a long time. As a matter of fact, when Ronnie James Dio died, the supergroup he was in called Heaven and Hell, with Dio and members of Black Sabbath, they did a tribute show, and this guy performed at that show. So he's kind of a big deal in Norway. He's been around for a long time. He was also briefly the vocalist for Yngwie Malmsteen. Apparently that lasted for about half a tour. Because they didn't get along is the vibe I've gotten.
And what is the vibe of this track? Like, this rock is just classic late 70s. Like, is this proper metal? Is this glam rock?
I would say hard rock.
Okay.
Yeah, in the like what? Dio
okay.
sort yeah. of sort of thing. I have no idea how well it's going to do. The staging is going to be nuts. It's just really different. I don't know if Norway's going to go for it. You know, it's hard to say.
My problem, my issue with it, though, and like I get like musically, I'm down for it. Thematically, though, I can't tell because the song is all about how religion tears humanity apart and that people hide behind their faith to do terrible, terrible things to each other. I can't tell if he is pointing his finger at all religion or if he's pointing his finger at specific religions. And there are certain aspects of the song that make me think it's the latter, which puts me a little bit at unease. I feel like I need to delve a little bit more into him and into the music a little bit more if I'm being oversensitive. I just want to make sure that this isn't too crusadery. If you get what I'm saying, which can be a problem.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not something I'd picked up on, but
it's something that my dear friend Ellie mentioned earlier today on Twitter, and looking into it, I'm like, I can kind of see where she's coming from. I just need to do a little bit more research on my own. If it was pure music, yes, absolutely. But I need to do a bit more digging before
I got to listen to
before
this
I can put my weight behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should listen to it.
Yeah.
Is it standard for the semifinal to just be this few songs, or are there more than this and these are just the highlights?
They're just the four.
It's just a four.
Single
All right.
elimination bracket, essentially.
Ah, I see.
There will be, I don't think they did this last year, there is going to be a second chance round like Sweden has. There are five regular semifinals, four songs apiece, and then the 15 that don't make it will have one more shot in some fashion. And there will be one winner out of those. So six total from all of that, six automatic qualifiers. I remember when I first learned about the setup that some go automatically into the final. That really bugged me at first. But I kind of realized that, like, okay, when some of them are like Kano, they're just going to take up qualification spots. So yeah, just put them all.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I like it now.
So I think that is all we've got for our country news coming up for 2021. Then again, keep in mind, like, by the time this episode hits the internet,
we're gonna have just as much news to come. Yeah,
it's there's always gonna be something. It's gonna come faster and faster and faster until May, let's be real here. So Eric, you put a little note here about Eurovision again. Obviously we don't have it for the time being, just because we're getting into national final season, like we said.
Yep. Yeah, we were basically told by pal Rob Holly, enjoy national selection season the way you always do, but that Eurovision again will be back in the summer. So we have that to look forward to in the off season.
That'll be great. I don't want to leave this on a sad note, but I should probably pay a little bit of honor and respect to a pair of people who did leave us just these past few weeks since our last recording. On January 1st, we lost Carlos de Carmo from Portugal, who represented the country in 1976. With the song Uma Flor de Verde Pinho, coming in 12th place. He was a massive, massive name in the traditional Portuguese music scene. Like, amongst Fado fans, he was Sinatra, he was Tony Bennett. Like, he was a classic, well-loved, you know, legacy musician. So much so that after he passed away, the government in Portugal declared a national day of mourning for him. So Carlos de Carmo was a really excellent musician and very well loved amongst the Fado scene and amongst Eurovision fans. In that similar vein, we also said goodbye also on New Year's Day to Liam Riley, who represented Ireland in 1990 with the song Somewhere in Europe, coming in an incredibly respectable second place, probably kicking off what was going to be an incredible decade for Ireland at Eurovision. Passed away very suddenly at the age of 65 in Ireland. New Year's Day for many people is a great way to say goodbye to a crap year, but unfortunately it was a very sad day for us in the Eurovision community. So we wish Carlos de Carmo and Liam Riley Godspeed, and we send love and support to their fans and family and friends. Why don't we play a little extract of, let's go with Somewhere in Europe. We could be wrong again.
Godspeed, Liam Riley. Thoughts to your family and loved ones.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to leave it on a downer here. But,
well, you
fine.
Did.
It's the world we live in.
I'm a terrible person. What can I say? Anyway, like I said, by the time this episode airs, more news is going to be coming down the pipeline. We have got our first national final heats popping up this weekend, Saturday. We have our first official national final coming up on January 25th.
The final.
It's the final. Yep. So that's coming up on the 25th of January, and I'm really excited. So I, again, have to thank Israel for giving me a nice little birthday gift. And, yeah, just things are happening again, folks.
It's time. Yeah. We're going to give you all that content you crave. All of it. All of it.
Are you saying that Danny's just started an OnlyFans?
It's an OnlyFans, but it's just an excuse to get people to watch Shakespeare.
Ooh.
Whatever it takes, though, right?
I put the tit in Titania.
Nice. End of that, folks. You can check us out on social media. 12pointsUSA at Twitter and Facebook. 12pointsforamerica.com. Email us at 12pointsforamerica@gmail.com. Check us out on Redbubble. Check us out on OnlyFans, whatever. Just, you know. It's great. Our media empire continues to grow. You never know where we'll pop up next. I don't know. Pinterest. I mean, Parler's gone, so probably not there. I don't know. It could be anywhere.
We might be right behind you right now.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, we will see you all, or at least you will hear from us on our next episode. But until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny.
In America.
Stop listening now.
Now.
What is that?
Sledgehammer.
Jesus.
Oh. What the?